here. It's so nice to see them. And I just wanted, before I give them the mic, you know I was probably going to do this, but I just want to tell some of you who do not know him that he's a true man of God, that he's had a huge impact on my life. He's why I stand here before you. And so without further ado, let's give him a round of applause.
So the olive tree this morning. Just kidding. I had to do that just to bring up the mood this morning. Jesus is alive. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He has a plan. He's the man in control. And the God that we serve this morning is a good God. Hallelujah. I don't want to bore you with a long story of why we came back and all of that, but I do want to say that we are privileged and that we are very glad and excited for what God has in store for us moving forward. We are thankful for the opportunity that we had to be in Medellin, Colombia, and to be able to not just be there, but when we left a good group of people that they can work with. Our last service that we had there before we left, and the turnover in the evening, they had about 35 people in service, so that was a big and exciting moment for us. We were not there to see it. By that time, the other pastor had already taken over the church, but we are, again, very humbled and excited for all that God is doing for us, or doing through us, rather. I am still a little emotional this morning. I'm going to try not to be very emotional, but if it comes out, I apologize ahead of time. God is doing wonderful things, and so I'm just really excited and humbled for all that Jesus is doing. This morning, I want you to turn with me, if you would, amen, to read a little bit of God's Word. In Mark 10, verse 17 to verse 27 is what we're going to read this morning. Again, Mark 10, verse 17 to verse 27. I'm going to start there in verse 17, where the Bible says, "When Jesus was ready to leave, man came running and fell down before him and said, 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Verse 18, 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus replied, 'No one is good but only God. You already know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not present false testimony, do not disappoint, honor your father and your mother.' And then Jesus looked at him with love and added, 'One thing is missing. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me.' On hearing this, the man became discouraged and left and said, 'Because he had many riches.' Jesus looked around and told his disciples, 'How difficult is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?' Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at his words. 'Children, how difficult is it to enter in the kingdom of God?' Repeated Jesus. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more astonished and said among themselves, 'Then who can be saved?' It is impossible for men, Jesus said, staring at them, but not for God. In fact, everything is possible for God." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your powerful hand, God, upon our lives. We ask you, Lord, this morning to touch us and help us, God. Lord, I pray that you would break, God, the strongholds that are holding us back from serving you, Lord. We ask you this morning, God, to help us, God, to serve you all the days of our lives. God, move in power, glory, change, deliver, set free this morning in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. I want to talk a little bit about adjusting to the changes in our lives. You know, this morning, one of the facts and the realities of life is that things all around us are changing. Everything around us is changing. I remember when I was a little kid and I, you know, watching television, and And what it is today, all these years later, television today is a lot different than it was when I was growing up. Man, and that's not too long ago. Nonetheless, you watch television today, and for those of you folks that remember, you know, black and white TVs, because we had a TV in the house right about the time that they went from black and white to color, and you know, that was a change. That was like, wow, this is really cool. You didn't want to go to a friend's house that had the black and white TVs, man. You wanted to make best friends with a kid that had the color TV because it was just better. It was a good change. And so in life, there's a lot of changes that take place, and all of us here have to come to the place where we learn how to adjust to those changes. We know that we all age. Amen. I just turned 44 October 2nd, and you know, one of the things that none of us can stop is the aging process. Amen. In Colombia, most women are like rubber dolls. Amen. Everything is silicone. And they do this because they want to stop the aging process, man. And so they will get plastic surgery and change everything about themselves in an effort to try to, you know, just hold off, you know, from changing too much, too quickly. We know that that's going to happen to all of us here. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do, change is going to come, man. It's going to come. There's nothing you can do to stop it. All of us in this place have also tried to, you know, change our lives, possibly by you know, finding some slick diet that's going to help you lose weight. How many of you know that the diets are exciting until you find out what you have to do to stick to that diet? And that change is such a radical change because it requires you to, you know, make adjustments to the way that you eat, and you have to change your, you know, everything that's in the refrigerator, and you have to do all kinds of stuff. You find out that a lot of times a diet can be expensive and stuff like that. And so, you know, most of the time, people that try diets don't finish the diet. Somewhere they give up. Not because, you know, they don't want to lose the weight. It's just that sometimes change is too difficult. It can be overwhelming. It can at first sound like a great idea, but once you get into the meat of it, then you realize, maybe this is not for me. Maybe this is not for me. We know children change our lives. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think about this, thinking back when it was just you and your husband and no kids, and all of a sudden you begin to have kids, and you realize that life can quickly change with kids, man. You can't think about just yourself anymore. Now you have to think about, you know, some kid that just came into the picture that you love, but nonetheless, it's going to change your life. You got to wake up all times of the day to change diapers. You got to pick up after them. You have to cast out demons from them. You got to do all kinds of stuff. Kids bring a lot of change. You know, we just moved into our kid's house, and we brought two dogs. They already have a huge dog. And we brought two more. That created some chaos in the house. Dogs fighting and barking all night. And so it's created some change for my kids. They're not used to having us around. And that can become uncomfortable because, you know, a lot of times, you know, change can invade our space. And that can be an uncomfortable change for many of us. Man, how many of you know that, you invite a friend to come and they're going to stay for a week, and they decide it's a good idea to stay three more weeks. And how many of you know you're ready for them to leave after that first week? Because change, you know, and when people invade your space, that can become a very difficult thing to adjust to. In our scripture, we just read about a change that was asked of this young ruler, and it was such a dramatic change for him, and it's such a revelation for him when it was presented to him, that he walks away sorrowful. He walks away upset, bothered by the change that Jesus is asking him to make in his life. He comes up to Jesus excited, like all of us come to Jesus excited. And then, you know, we want to do something for God, and we get close to Jesus, and we begin to inquire, Lord, listen, I've been serving you, God, I've been doing all these things right, and Lord, I'm just wondering, what can I do to, you know, to do what you want me to do? And then Jesus says, and looks at us with that very serious look in his face, and, well, you got to do this and this. And you know, once he mentions that first thing, how many of you know that that can be a difficult thing? You know, maybe this morning in your life, maybe Jesus this morning is pointing at a particular sin that is taking place in your life. That can be a difficult change, man, because if we're used to doing things a certain way, and all of a sudden Jesus invades our privacy by the Holy Ghost, and he points at a sin, and he says, listen, you have to take care of this sin. How many know that that can be discouraging? You know, because a lot of times we walk up to Jesus and we walk up to him feeling a little righteous. We feel a little, you know, holy. We've gone on an outreach, maybe came to a prayer meeting, maybe attended church, you know, faithfully for a month, and we approach Jesus with that cockiness. Lord, listen, I can do something for you. And Jesus is excited that we come up to him wanting to do something. But the bottom line is that most of the time, when we come up to Jesus, we want to do something, Jesus is always going to, you know, point at something. There's going to be something, you can rest assured about that. You can be pretty much this morning, you know, 100%, you have to go this, listen, Jesus is going to point out something in your life. Because what Jesus wants for all of us is for us to make the adjustment and not just make it, but be successful after making it. He doesn't want us to carry the extra baggage into a different dimension or a different chapter in our lives serving him. And that's why many times the first thing that Jesus points at is our sin. He says, take care of this sin and I can take you where you want to go. I can bless you where you want to be blessed. I can set you free where you must and need to be free. Jesus can do that for us. Jesus can take the pain and the tears and the brokenness in our lives. But most of the time, there's going to be some type of requirement. It's going to require us to approach him with a humble heart and a desire to truly be changed. And if that is the case, Jesus, at most time, is going to point at the sin and say, listen, you got to take care of your sin right here. In the life of this young ruler, we know that sin was not a problem for him. He had been raised in church. So it's obvious, you know, he'd been studying. He'd been looking at God's word. He knew the commandments. He was following the commandments. He had to, you know, he had an awareness of the things that God wanted for humanity at that time and still today. And so as he approaches Jesus, he approaches him with some confidence that Jesus is going to say, wow, man, you know, I've been looking for people like you. People that don't have sin. People that, you know, that are living right for me. People that are serving me according to the commandments. You know, he thought that Jesus was going to welcome him in and say, hey, you're part of the group, but no problem. But Jesus says to him, listen, what you got to do is you got to go sell everything you have. You got to adjust to that change. You've got to give it to the poor, pick up your cross, you know, and follow me. There's a few things there that Jesus is asking this young ruler to do. It's not just one, you know. It's not just one. The hardest one was the first one. Listen, you have to go and you have to sell everything you have and you have to give it to the poor. The Bible says that it's at that moment that his face expression changes. It doesn't say it word for word, but you have to read into what it says there, and you have it. Well, if he walked away sorrowful, it wasn't like he went from a smile and then turned around and became sorrowful. No, he became sorrowful the moment Jesus said, you have to sell everything you have. Jesus didn't even finish the rest, and he was already with a look, he already had a look in his face. No doubt it was maybe tearing up, but he's looking at Jesus like, what? I don't think I'm hearing you right. I think something's wrong with my hearing. You know, but Jesus clarifies, listen, you have to sell everything you have. You have to give it to the poor. Pick up your cross and follow me. This morning, I'm not sure what Jesus is asking you to do, but I do know that a lot of times in life, Jesus will ask us to do things and we're left with a why. How many of you have a why in your life right now? What does that mean, Pastor? That means that somewhere Jesus asked you to do something and your response to Jesus was a why, and Jesus never responded to the why. He just kind of left you hanging and said, hey, you'll know later. I just need you to do this. That's kind of what happened to us coming back to Phoenix. You know, here I am having a good time. We had, like every pioneer church, the struggles here and there, assaults here and there. No different than pioneering here or anywhere else in the world. You know, pioneering in Medellin was not like, some of those glorious experiences you hear of, those reports where hundreds of people were coming in, getting saved, and, wanting Jesus in their life. That wasn't Medellin. Medellin was fighting tooth and nail for every person that came into the church. Fighting every demon in hell, just trying to save one soul for Jesus Christ. And here we get to a point where things are finally, coming into place, and God is touching some folks, and we had some new people come in, and some young disciples, and so here I am trying to work with them, and all of a sudden, in the middle of that, God drops the bomb and says, hey man, it's time for you to go back. And like a good pastor and a good Christian, I ignored God, and I said, right, get behind me, Satan. And so, I ignored it as much as I could, and then it kind of wore off. You know how that happens? Like when God says do something and you ignore it, and it kind of wears off. But see, Jesus, it wears off, but Jesus never forgets. And so, conference comes, they announce that there's a new church in Medellin. I said, I knew it was the devil. Jesus is bringing me some help. Glory be to God. And that's not what happened. Few months passed, or a few weeks, really, days, hours passed, and I begin to again feel that feeling. I couldn't sleep. I'm tossing and turning. I'm not wanting to tell my wife anything. I'm not telling my kids. I'm just kind of keeping it to myself. I'm just making sure that this is God. It's not me, the tacos, or something. And so I'm trying to sort it all out in my head. And the time comes. Here the new pastor's coming in. On a Tuesday, and I'm in my house on a Friday, and I finally get the guts to tell my wife, and my wife looks at me, and she, typical my wife, she says, well, selfishly I want to be excited about this decision, but I know that would be wrong, and we just need to do what God wants you to do, and we'll do whatever it is, if it's to stay or to go. And so I'm sitting in my bed, and I'm pondering this, and my girls don't know at this time. My pastor doesn't know. I haven't called Pastor Greg. I'm sitting in my bed with the phone next to me, and I can't get myself to picking up the phone. I'm pacing back and forth in my room. I'm rehearsing what I'm going to say. No time to sound spiritual. I even typed it out, so I wouldn't fumble over my words. And I'm trying to write a sermon, just to make sure that I get every word out. And I finally make the phone call, and it was a very brief phone call. Nonetheless, a day passes, and then finally a decision was made, and it was done. There was no going back at that point. But I began to, at that point, I began to, in my head, wrestle with the idea that I asked God why. And God didn't give me the why. He just kind of let me hang there. And I'm still right now asking God why. And I haven't gotten a response from heaven. In fact, this would be the first morning that I don't ask God why. I just kind of just said, God, you're in control. You're in control this morning in your life. And the very same thing can be happening. Maybe God is asking you to leave a friend behind that you love, that you adore. Maybe it's a relative or somebody in your life. Amen. There has to be some change that takes place there. I don't know what, but God knows. And so maybe He's touched your heart and He said, listen, this has to change. And perhaps there's just a little things here and there in your person and just your ministry. And God has been dealing with you. You need to change this. And you've been putting it off, ignoring it. And perhaps this morning, Maybe the reason why is because you've asked God why, and God hasn't given you the why. Maybe this morning the reason why you haven't changed or made the adjustments that God is asking you to make is because God hasn't given you the why. You know, in the life of this rich young ruler, you know, as Jesus tells him, listen, you have to sell everything you have and you have to give it to the poor. You notice, you know, he didn't sit there and argue with Jesus and say, no, listen, I'm really rich. I can give them a portion and it'll be okay. I can keep some of it and I can be okay. And so, Jesus, there's no need to really give them all. I can give them a portion. And he said, I'm very rich. I can do this and we can take care of all of them and I can still be taken care of. But that didn't happen. It wasn't like a long winded. There was no conversation. The man didn't even ask anything. He just just walked away sorrowful is what the Bible says. He didn't sit there and have a discussion. I don't know about you, but I would have had a discussion with Jesus. You know? I just say, wait a minute. Listen, bro. Listen, Lord. Maybe you know that there'd be some type of discussion. We always like to ask questions, right? Pastor asks you to do something. Why? Because it needs to get done. That's it. You don't need to know why. Just go get it done. You know, but we get bothered by that. And what I find interesting is, again, that there wasn't like a back and forth conversation with this young ruler of Jesus. He just walks away sorrowful. I wonder this morning how many people are feeling sorrowful this morning because Jesus perhaps asked you to do something. And instead of having that one-on-one conversation with the Lord, or at least just trusting Him, you're just kind of walking in your walk, trying to serve God the best you can. But, you know, you have that question just kind of floating in your head, in your mind, you know, why? Why would Jesus ask me to do that? You know, because we always try to make sense of everything, right? We try to make sense of everything, and then we create scenarios in our minds, and that can be dangerous, right? That can be totally dangerous. Somebody walks up to you, and they tell you, hey man, you're looking good, and immediately in your mind you're thinking, why? Well, it's because you look good this morning, but your mind goes somewhere. Oh, just tell me. She's just telling me why. Saying that I'm looking good because I know she's thinking, I don't match. I know that's what it is. I gained some weight. I'm not too skinny. You know, my shoes, I lost the shoes. That's why she told me that. I know. Why don't she just come out and tell me? You know, they're mad about me from across the church. You're scheming something in your head, trying to, because you weren't quick on your feet to respond at the moment, you're thinking, oh, next week, I'm going to come up with a good comeback. You're looking good too. Something just to, just to make the, that's just the way we are. But that's not the way, at least in this instance, that's not what happened. This guy just walked somewhere sorrowful. And again, I wonder this morning, how many people here perhaps, walking, just kind of bummed out over something that Jesus asked you to do. You didn't comply, you didn't do it, you didn't surrender, and you didn't ask any questions, and now you're just kind of wandering around in your mind thinking, why did Jesus ask me to do that, that many months ago? Why hasn't he came back to ask me again? Well, if you look here, Jesus doesn't, there's not like this guy got like plenty of opportunities to rethink what happened. Jesus didn't say, listen, I know you're walking. Hey man, listen, turn around. I know you're walking away a little sad, but listen, I'm gonna give you a couple of days to pray about this and we'll talk again. Jesus didn't do that to him. When Jesus saw the response, Jesus got his answer and he kept on. This morning, you don't want that to happen to you. You don't want to be that person that just walks away because, listen, Jesus ain't going to go chase you down to convince you that you have to do this. Jesus ain't going to, this isn't the WWF where he's going to jump off a cloud and he's going to tackle you and he's going to make you, somehow reconsider your decision to just walk away. That's not the way this works. You have to respond and you have to why Jesus never, you know, God in heaven, when I prayed, God, why do we have to go back now? You know, I think the reason, you know, that's just me and my craziness. Perhaps I'm nuts this morning. I don't know, but I'm thinking, you know, just logical. Perhaps the reason why Jesus didn't give me the why was because if he would have given me the why, I would have said no. I would have walked away. I would have said, no. Listen, that's too much information, Jesus. I don't need to know the rest. I've made my decision. There's no way I'm going back for that. So sometimes Jesus doesn't give us all the answers because he knows us. He knows that if he tells us the whole story, perhaps this morning we are going to just reconsider the whole idea altogether. Because that's the way we are. I know, I didn't say, oh, you guys are going to hold me this morning, so you know, at least me and you know my family, we're just devils, and so we think this way, and the thing is that's just the way we are. We want to know everything about what Jesus is doing. God, you want me to do that? No problem, my Lord. You know, come here, let's talk. I need you to explain to me, you know, all of the details. I need you to help me out here. You know, how is this all going to work out at the end, Lord? You need to help me. What will you be willing to do as I close to stay safe? Why don't you ask yourself that question? What are you willing to do to stay safe? I'm not even talking about the blessing, the benefits of being saved. I'm just talking about just being safe. What are you willing to do to just stay safe? You know, because this morning, at least in my life, I could have ignored God saying to me, listen, you have to go back. I could have fought it. I could have wrestled with that. I could have continued doing what I had done for several months. Thank God that he's a gracious God, man. He didn't chase me down, but he was gracious enough to just kind of let me wander off, figure it out, and come back to him and realize that Jesus had a better plan than my plan. Because we like to judge things by what we see, right? I know we say we're men and women of faith, but let's just be honest. Be real this morning. Let's just be real this morning. It's a lot easier to say we have faith when we can see what's happening in front of us, right? When we can see that, you know, we'll tithe, right? We'll give, but only if we can see the boss already signing the paper where he's going to give us a $4 raise, right? Because that's what we've been asking for. Lord, I'm willing to do that. But Lord, I want to see the boss sign the paper before I actually do what I said I was going to do. And so we tend to want to, you know, make our next move according to what God allows us to see. But sometimes that's not the way it works. Sometimes Jesus just wants you to trust him that he has a better plan than you. Sometimes Jesus just wants you to believe that he will take care of you. And no matter what happens, he's such a good God. He's going to make things work for the very best for you because he loves you that much. Because he has that much grace. But there has to be a willingness inside of all of us that allows us to just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to take that next step. I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to believe that you have things in control, that you do, amen, Lord, see it all from beginning to end, everything in between, God, that you see it all. And because you see it all, Lord, because you see it all, I believe that things can work out for me for the very best. You know, making this decision has become a lot easier since you know, I jumped in the plane. It was in that moment that just everything just kind of fell on my shoulder. I just, I'm looking across the aisle. My daughters are there. My wife's already here in the U.S. at that time. And this was yesterday. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at everybody and I'm saying to myself, man, thank you, Jesus, for giving me you know, three of the best soldiers that I could have to fight alongside of me while we were here in Colombia. When we finally told our daughters, you know, I was thinking, you know, they were going, we're free! Dad, you're a man of God, man. You heard God. I'm telling you, I've been feeling the same thing for a long time, Dad. You know, I thought they were, you know, close the mind. I'm thinking that, but that's what happened. You know, I tell them, and the response was completely just different, and they started crying. Why are we leaving now? There's no way. Why now? No, we need to stay longer. And they're crying and they're telling us this. And it was at that moment that I realized that I wasn't fighting the battle by myself. There were people alongside of me that perhaps I didn't appreciate enough. The 3.5 years we were there, they were fighting the fight with me. I'm sure they felt at one time like coming back would be the best thing for them. But when the revelation and the moment came where the decision had been made, you know, it made me realize that I'm not fighting alone. And I think this morning you have to and I have to be reminded that we're not fighting alone. You know, there's people here, there's decisions and choices that are in the balance right now. You know, sometimes you can be a little selfish and say, oh man, I'm making all this sacrifice, I'm doing all. But listen, there's other people that are doing the same thing you're doing. You think, oh man, this is difficult making this decision. You know, you don't do what Jesus is asking you to do. It's such a difficult, hard thing to do, man. This is too much. But listen, understand something. There's people here that are doing the same thing. There are people all over the world that are having to make these tough decisions. But listen, what you don't want to do is you don't want to be that rich young ruler, you know, because the only people that still talk about them are us, the preachers. Bible doesn't continue to talk about him. It's the last time we ever hear about this young man. You know why? Because when he made a decision, he made a decision. His decision was to just keep on doing what he was doing, not what Jesus wanted him to do. You and I want for our names to still be mentioned at the end of the chapter of the book that Jesus in heaven is writing about the story of our lives. We don't want it somewhere in the middle of the book, our name becomes absent, obsolete, and just not mentioned ever again. Why? Because we made a choice to walk away without doing what Jesus was asking us to do. This morning we're making tough decisions, right? This church has fought tooth and nail through many battles. Everybody's making tough decisions. Everybody. And I'm glad, amen, that you guys picked up where we left off when we were here just a few months back. You guys are still plugging away. You guys are still fighting. I'm here this morning only to remind you that all the things that have happened and all the things that are going to happen are all going to be connected to somewhere in all of it all. Jesus saying to you, listen, I need you to do this. Because if you're going to be here a year from now, 6 months from now, you're going to enjoy all that Jesus has for you. You're going to have to respond to Jesus. You're going to have to say, Lord, I trust you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't care how difficult it is. If it's to, you know, make other friends, if it's to, you know, start doing this or that, make this decision, do that. Listen, whatever it is, Lord, I'm willing to do it. I don't need to know the why. Why? Because I know you're in control. If you're in control, Lord, I trust that you have everything under control and everything will work out to my benefit. Let's bow our heads this morning before Jesus in this place. Nothing heavy this morning. Just a quick little reminder that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the